Welcome, Jordan, to Eichenbaum Acorns. I'm very happy to have you on this series. I am David Eichenbaum. I'm partner and director of research at Retina Vitreous, and I've known you for several years now. Tell me a quick intro.
Sure, Jordan Graff here in Phoenix, Arizona. Good to be with you, Dave, and thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this. I'm at Barnett Delaney Perkins Eye Center, a large multi-specialty part of American Vision Partners in the Southwest. And I'm also involved in clinical research and an educator, a clinical educator for medical students with the local medical schools.
Yeah, we have share a lot of parallels in what we do, which is one of the reasons I've always admired your career. And so I want to talk to you about early adoption. This is in the context of the Susvimo port delivery system. You do a lot of work with that, probably more work than almost anyone in the United States. But we're not going to focus on that specific. But more importantly, I want to talk about what drove you to be an early adopter. What does that look like? What are the pitfalls? What are the pleasures? What would you tell our audience? What would you tell new retina specialists or seasoned retina specialists about early adoption? Let's start with why did you do it now? Why is this the thing that you've early adopted?
Well, I think that I appreciate the question because really the why we are early adopters does expand beyond perhaps what one is most known for. For me, perhaps with the port delivery system for a decade in clinical research, also involved in the gene therapy trials and involved in the new medications in the faricimab and some of the things that are happening right now that we're all involved in. I think the port delivery system was right about at that time, about a decade ago. I'm, 6 years into practice, and I'm finding I love my practice. I've kind of got my groove. I'm comfortable in the OR. I'm comfortable with my clinic, and I'm feeling that I was lacking some of that I loved about education. You know how it is. You're going through residency and you're learning new techniques, and every cataract surgery is new. Every glaucoma surgery is new. Every technique is new, and you're excited.
So
You
the
know
why,
that.
that's a big part of the why, the excitement of everything being new. And I remember that feeling. That's probably part of what we do, why we do what we do with research. But I get it. This was like a surgical thing. It was technical. It was exciting.
That's exactly right, Dave. I think that hit right at the time that I was feeling, I want to feel challenged. I want to try something new. I want to see what the next generation is. Because during my residency, anti-VEGF came out and we watched that whole revolution take place.
So why the PDS? Because the PDS was at the right time, added the excitement, added something challenging, and you were involved, heavily involved in the phase two and the phase three trials, looking at various disease states, wet AMD, DME. You did DR also, I think, with Pavilion.
Yes.
You do lots of the clinical trial surgeries. We did a lot of clinical trial surgeries. You do lots of refills, and then the product becomes commercial. And why did you make the leap from being a busy trialist with it to an early adopter in the real world?
Yeah, I saw the process of evolution, and it was fun to be a part of that. It kind of felt like being on, and who knows the long-term vision of the port delivery system as a platform, the PDF as it's called, PDP as a port delivery platform, as they call it. But it has that potential to, I think, be one of those products that allows us to deliver in unlimited imagined molecules in sustained delivery if we can get better and better at the surgery. And so I kind of saw the challenge of early adopters of phaco. I saw the challenges of early adopters of MIGS. They got better and better at it because they saw a potential future. And I think that a lot of things we're involved in trials, once they go commercial, we see if we get really good at this and we drop those complication rates dramatically, we can see the potential application be even broader.
And what was the pain points, or what did you learn by being an early commercial adopter?
Well, I think one of the early pain points was, to have the first iteration to see a percentage rising of the septum dislodgement and go, gosh, I really invested in this. I'm excited about it. I think I've been telling people about it. And to realize that we had to have the voluntary withdrawal and kind of come to a pause. And it makes you think, well, I knew that there would be some changes in adoptions, but I didn't think it would mean a total pause in implantation. And where's this going from here? That makes you cautious. It makes you concerned. It's
Did you see septum dysplasmus in your commercial patients on the first iteration?
No, not in my commercial, but I did have a couple of patients with the first version of the implant who in study had a septum dislodgement. So I did remove and replace and put a new one in. I guess part of what was reassuring was the patient's energy, because I could kind of feed off of this a little bit. When I was feeling down, I say, well, we could leave this in there and just two injections. We could take it out and sew it up. We could put a new one in. And the both of my patients were like, are you kidding me? This is great. Just put in a new one. That was easy. Yeah.
What's the big win, the experience that's encouraged you to keep that up?
Well, again, it does come back, as you were saying earlier, the patient's energy and enthusiasm for it. There's this sense of, the patients come back who have been getting injections for years, and then now they in every 8 weeks, maybe they were kind of had hungry lesions that required every 6 or 8 weeks. And now they've got the implant in, and I bring them back to check because of that. Now what is it? We're about 1.6% risk of erosion or something, very low, but we still not zero. And doing a couple of revisions. So I bring them back just to check on them and make sure. And the patients call those their smug appointments, because they show up and they're sitting in the waiting room, and there's this kind of dialogue. And then the patient's sitting there and they lean to their left and they go,
They're talking to each other. Yeah.
here for your injection. Yeah. How about you? Yeah. How many weeks? 8 weeks. You? 9 weeks. And then the person in the middle is like, yeah, I used to get those. And they're like, what?
I could totally see that happening. Then there you have this, and then these other folks come in and they talk to you about it.
Exactly. That's exactly what
Yeah.
happens.
What about the community? Because now, this has been relaunched for about a year. And people know Jordan Graf puts these in. What is that perspective been like from the receiving side, from your side, as being the guy who puts these in? What's happened?
Yeah, you get a lot of when you go to the meetings, and it is fun, Dave, to connect with each other and our other friends and colleagues that we see each other in the meetings from the other side of the country. And we end up talking about what we've done in clinical research, what's coming down the pike, what we're doing commercially, and of course, what you're most known for. People are asking you about, hey, how's it going with the port delivery system? Tell me about that. And so you get all of these water cooler conversations that are fun. And you'll get the naysayers, and that's all right. It's healthy discussion. And I think I remember, the same kind of thing happened early with phaco. I remember the ancient stories at Iowa. They told these legendary stories about when somebody was on podium at a meeting and they said, well, I would never do the phaco. I can't imagine anybody would do that. And somebody like a confessional raises their hand and said, I have done phaco. It's stretching you out there. And then, of course, anything that stretches it is going to bring questions, and that's a good thing.
What would be your advice to a retina specialist, regardless of where they are in their career, but probably earlier in their career, who's inspired by your experience with the PDS and wants to be an early adopter of the next big thing? What would you tell them? What's the roadmap?
Well, I would suggest if you're able to get involved in clinical trials, that's one of the best ways to see things early on. Second, I would reach out to somebody, friend, colleague, even an associate or even an acquaintance, somebody you respect. In fact, great business minds do this. We don't do it enough in medicine. We silo ourselves, pride gets in the way. Great business leaders, great entrepreneurs, reach out to those that they respect and get their insights and ideas. Getting some kind of a mentor would help. Third, just go for it. Try it. There's nothing like the opportunity. And for something like the port delivery system, there's such a robust preparatory process that helps you that you'll feel readily prepared when you first adopt it.
Office. If someone does want to be an adopter of new technology, it's going to cost more out of pocket for many patients. Tell me about the practicalities of that.
That is a reality of our practice now, whether it be with the high-cost drugs that we used to have more ready access to because of copay assistance, and now we don't, or adopting new technology. I initiate that conversation with the patient. I say that there's a certain degree that your insurance is going to cover. Thankfully, it will probably not cover all of it. I don't know all of the insurance nuances, but I know that there'll be some responsibility that you'd have. And my practice manager or team lead will then join them and go through the numbers with them. I said, you can make a personal decision. I can help with the medical things, that only you can decide the worth for you for whatever else you need to put in as you as I give you the answers to the medical questions and the burden reduction and the safety, then you can make some decisions about the finances. But until I get those answers out there for you, it's hard for you to make a sense of what's the worth of what
Right.
you're getting.
You and I are both pipeline folks. I'd like you to put on your wizard's hat, get out your crystal ball, and tell me what you're most excited about that could be the next thing for you or I or somebody else in the community to lead the way with as an early adopter.
I think that the data coming forth on the TKIs as a burden reduction and a safe opportunity looks very promising. I think that one of the several intraocular biofactory gene therapies, the data is looking really promising in those. I think that we're probably soonest to get subretinal delivery based on the way those trials are going, and I'm involved in those. Although I wonder if long-term subretinal delivery is going to be the way to do that. That it's as we look at the new molecules being studied with 4DMT and suprachoroidal delivery, I'm very interested in seeing where intraocular biofactory really is going to go to be easily adopted. Of course, because of my experience with port delivery as a platform, I would say I'm equally interested in the next step of what's coming down the pike in the port delivery as a platform to see in the current studies that are ongoing, of which I'm a part, including surgical modification to reduce and simplify the surgery and delivery of faricimab-like molecule. I'm very excited to see where that would go, where this platform has 9 months, 12 months of extension treatment and new drugs to be available.
Well, thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to talk to friends. It's a pleasure to hear your perspective. I hope this was something different and exciting and fun for you to talk about.
Thank you, Dave. I really think this is brilliant what you're doing to have something that is unscripted, that is unsponsored, that is just discussion. I think it's really cool that you're initiating this. The Eichenbaum's Acorns is really cool.